tonight. Praise the Lord. Farmers are going to be touched. Praise God. That's great. Cassandra, could I ask you to, the very first song that we sang today, could you just put that up on the screen for me? It says, "More than I could hope or dream of, you have poured your favor on me. One day in the house of God is better than 1,000 days in the world." Next verse. "So blessed, I can't contain it. So much, I've got to give it away. Your love has taught me to live now. You are more than enough for me." The message that God put in my heart for today is this: today is the day, and now is the time. And we're going to talk about what that song says. Ulu and Naomi didn't know what my message was, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read some scripture to you today. There may be a few more verses in the message today than you normally get, but take note, write them down, rehearse them, think about them. But Hebrews 11 and verse 1 in the New King James Bible, which I have here, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." God's the one who put the word "things" in there. Just tuck that away for your thinking. The Amplified Bible says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." You have to come to a place where you perceive as real fact the healing in your body, that your body is well and healed and whole and strong, even though your body may be telling you that you're sick. You come to that place where you take God's word over the circumstances. And primarily today I'm talking about the area of finance, and we'll get into that a little more as we go through. But the Living Bible for Hebrews 11:1 says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead." It is the certainty. See, this word is certain. This is sure. When God says it, that's it. What I want you to understand is God sees you in the light of His word. He doesn't see you in need. He doesn't see you sick. He doesn't see you having problems. He sees you in light of His word. So you need to start and see you in light of the word. The International Children's Bible for Hebrews 11:1 says it like this: "Faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and faith means knowing that something is real even if we do not see it." Faith means knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Turn back to John chapter 10. That verse that you can all quote, I guess. In John 10 and verse number 10, the words of Jesus. The Amplified Bible, John 10:10 Amplified, says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Now we have to realize that God wants us individually to live at that level, that is the level of abundance and overflow. But I want to say this to you this morning: until you learn to think in abundance, you'll never have abundance. You have to come to the place where you can receive it in your thinking. And then when you begin to receive it in your thinking, it's in your spirit man. And then it'll happen physically for you in the various areas. But the only way you can do that is to meditate in the word, think about the word, and say what God says. Agree with God. So when you begin to agree with God, things begin to happen. Now back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. See, many Christians are trapped by what they say, trapped by the words of their mouth and the thoughts that they have. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, I'm going to read the Amplified Bible to you again. Now, in this message today, I'm going to be sharing with you a lot of my very favorite scriptures, because this is how I live my life. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, Amplified. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors, and I know their sorrows and their sufferings and trials. Verse 8 says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand and power of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land to a land that is good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to a place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. He didn't mention Vegemite, but you can assume it's in there. He didn't, but it's included. So God says, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to bring them to a place of plenty, a land that's big and wide, and there's going to be a lot of blessing there. Now, turn over to Psalm 105. We're just building some foundation here. Psalm 105, Psalm 105, almost there, and verse number 37. Psalm 105 and verse 37. Listen to this. He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one amongst all of their tribes. Another translation says, the Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold, and not one of the tribes of Israel even stumbled under his weight. Now think about that. He brought them out loaded with silver and gold. He took the people of Egypt and he said, I'm going to numb their thinking. And when my people, the people of Israel, ask for gold and silver and jewels, they're just going to give them to them. So the people of Egypt just gave them everything. And then the people of Israel left that land, which was really the land of not enough. Because when they were in Egypt, they didn't have enough straw to make bricks. The Egyptians made them work harder, and they had to so hard to work to even be able to do anything. They didn't have enough. But then God brought them out into the wilderness. And the wilderness is an interesting place. They came into the wilderness laden down with silver and gold, but they had just enough for every day. In other words, they didn't fully understand what they had. See, people pray today, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be, this is Matthew 6, 9 and 10, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then they get to give us this day our daily bread. See, a lot of people are living at the daily bread level. Just enough for the day. See, a lot of us have just settled in that place. Settled in the wilderness. I remember many years ago there was a man that we got saved. I don't think there's anybody here today other than my own family who might remember him. His name was Ron Coffey. Ron Coffey was an alcoholic. And we got him saved and delivered and set free from alcoholism. And God really touched his life, and he got filled with the Spirit. And I remember the first time he ever preached, we got him to share a message. And he'd been saved probably a year or two by then. We got him to share a message one Sunday. And the message he shared was victory in the wilderness. And it was interesting because he'd got insight into the fact that even though the children of Israel were there in the wilderness and they had everything they needed, they still were in need. They didn't fully appreciate what God had done for them. So we have to come out of Egypt, number one. Then we're in the wilderness. Then we come out of the wilderness into this land of plenty that God has planned for us. Now, back up to Numbers chapter 13. Because there's an interesting thing here, Numbers 13, 1-3. In Numbers 13, I'm going to read the little passage to you, because this shows us a pattern for the children of Israel. Listen to these words. Verse 25. Numbers 13, 25. And they returned from spying out the land of after 40 days. And they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and the children of the congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. Now let me just mention this for your information. The place is Kadesh. It's called Kadesh Barnea. And the name Kadesh Barnea means, listen to this, the place of inconsistent holiness. That's its meaning. They were camped at Kadesh Barnea, the place of inconsistent holiness. They brought back the word to them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, that's Moses, and said, "We went to the land that you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell there are in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there," that's the giants, "and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted them before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, because we are well able to overcome it." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. These men, verse 31, "But they had gone up with him, said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are.'" Now, the point I want to make just out of this is this. Here is the children of Israel standing at a place called Kadesh Barnea, the place of inconsistent holiness. God says, "This is what I'm giving you." They go out, they come back, they see the fruit of it. Caleb, he says, "We can do this. This is a piece of cake. This is easy. Let's go do it." But all the rest of them say, "No, we can't." Now, the "no, we can't" crowd all died in the wilderness. The two who said, "Yes, we can," Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two who went in. You see, what I'm telling you is this, that there are people, and they're standing on the edge of God's blessing. They're looking over and saying, "It would be wonderful, but I don't think we can do that. I know God wants to bless us, but I don't think we're going to be able to make it. We haven't got the personality. We haven't got whatever." Do you hear what I'm trying to say to you? That there are some of you here today, you're standing on the edge of the blessing of God. But you're thinking, "We can't do this. What if? What if this doesn't work? What if? If we say to you today, "We've got a new project in New Guinea," I guarantee you, not one of you are going to jump up and say, "I'll fund it. How much do you need?" I mean, we could be talking $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. We've never experienced someone jump up and say, "Okay, well, you know, I'll take care of that one for you." You hear what I'm saying to you? See, we're standing on the edge of it, but we're not venturing out into it. Standing on the edge, but never getting over. Before you can change your life, you have to change your thinking. Go to the book of Isaiah. Or Isaiah, whichever way you like to say it. Find chapter 54. Isaiah 54. Let me read verse 2 and 3 to you. You know these verses. Isaiah 54, 2. Listen to these words. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth out of the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your courts. Strengthen your stakes. You shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Now, I began to look at that and think about it over the last few days. And what I see in that is Isaiah gives 5 steps to the blessing of God. 5 steps to come out. Very simple. And I'll read them to you because I've noted them down here. Step 1, he says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Broaden your thoughts. Make room in your mind to think the way God thinks." Step number 2. "Stretch your tent curtains wide." Start to stretch your imagination. Begin to dream in the Holy Ghost. Begin to see yourself doing things that previously you thought, "I can't do that. I've never had enough. I'm not going to be able to finance that project." Begin to see yourself doing things for the kingdom that you've never thought possible. Third thing he says is, "Do not hold back." At every opportunity, meditate on God's possibilities and God's promises. Don't miss out. Don't hold back. See, don't say, "I don't think we can do that. Well, we've never done that before. This is new." Don't think that way. Think, "Thank God, I can do what God tells me I can do." Number 4, he says, "Lengthen your cords." Lengthen your thoughts until you can sense the endless possibilities of what God said you can do through His Word if you're available to Him. Begin to stretch out, lengthen those cords. I see it like a chain, you know, a metal chain. You can put links. Some of you ladies have them around your neck. You put links and links, and there's no limit to the links that you can put on it. Don't limit the links that you can put on it. You can expand out into God's abundance. Number five, he says, strengthen your stakes. Now, he's not talking about the stake on the stake on the plate. He's talking about be courageous and strong in your thinking. Continually fortify and build up your thinking with the Word of God. Persist in building Bible-based attitudes. That I can do this. God said it. I believe it. That's it. And then you come to a place where you can stand your ground and say, I am not going to be moved from this. Turn back to Psalm 30. Now you'll see I'm building something for you here. And if you can get a hold of this, today is the day and this is the time. Psalm 30, verse 6. Psalm chapter 30, verse 6. Listen to this. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. I'm going to read that verse to you again. In my prosperity I have said, I shall never be moved. You have to come to that place, folks, where you are not going to be moved out of what God has brought you into. He's brought us out of the place where we didn't have enough, taken us through the wilderness where we had just enough, and He's bringing into that place a place of plenty. Now, I want to share some of my very favorite scriptures with you today. And the first one is Deuteronomy 8:18, which Russell uses quite often when he's up here. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Oh my, you need to meditate on some of these. Psalm 35. I said I was going to share some of my favorite ones with you. These are the ones that have been a blessing in my life. Psalm 35 and number 27. 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. You heard Naomi talk about that this morning. Who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Amen. Now we're no longer servants. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Yes. And if God takes pleasure in the prosperity of the servant, what about the family? Do you reckon, Samuel, that God takes pleasure when you are blessed financially? Yes. I believe so. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, just across a few pages. Now, get all these marked in your Bible. Spend time in them. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Now, I want you to understand, I didn't write these verses. These were put here by the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The Amplified Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. The New Century Version says, the Lord's blessing brings wealth. The New English Version says, the blessing from the Lord makes a person rich. All of them saying the same thing. It's to do with financial blessing. Turn over to Psalm 66. Now, I hope you're marking all of these in your Bible. Elizabeth says she's already got them marked. In Psalm 66 and verse 12. Psalm 66, 12. It says, you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, and you brought us out, this is the New King James, to a place of rich fulfillment. The King James Bible says, you brought us out into a wealthy place. The Complete Jewish Bible says, you brought us out to a place of plenty. The Simplified Bible puts it this way: you brought us to a place of abundant prosperity. See, I like the King James. It says, we're brought out to a wealthy place. See, there is a wealthy place in God, but listen, only God can lead you to that wealthy place. You can't really go there by yourself. You have to be led by the Spirit, because only God knows the way. Nobody else knows the way to this wealthy place. He's already hidden the path in His Word. He says, if you follow the path, it will bring you to that wealthy place. And the wealthy place is a place where the blessing overtakes you. Like the song said before, it's too big, I can't contain it, I've got to give it all away. That's what we're talking about. Coming to that place where it's more than enough. Much more than any of us can ever use in this lifetime. Most people are still trying to struggle enough to pay the rent in this week, never mind living for the rest of their life. You have to come to a place where this is working for us, friends. I like Strong's Concordance. I went to Strong's. Strong is for the... Strong, okay. I don't know. Strong's Concordance says, a wealthy place is a place of running over, it's past saturation point, and it's abundantly satisfied. That's a wealthy place. I like that description. See, you're not going to come there by yourself. You've got to spend time in the Word. Now, on the way, you may go through fire, you may go through water, but if you keep your eye on the Lord and keep doing what He says, He'll bring you to that place. But let me put a little caution in. See, you can't be rich for the sake of being rich for yourself. But you have to be willing to be rich to be able to do what God wants you to do in these last days. Now, that's you need to hear that again. Yeah. You can't be rich for the sake of saying, I want to be rich, I need money, I need money, I need money. No, you have to be willing to be rich so God can use you. Yeah. I've told you the story, I think, previously about our friend who's gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Harry Greenwood, and it probably repeats, worth repeating again today. Brother Harry Greenwood, an evangelist, an Irishman, funny enough, good start. How many of you have ever seen Benny Hill? Not Benny Hinn, Benny Hill. Okay, Harry Greenwood and Benny Hill were like twin brothers in looks. But Brother Greenwood was such a character, and I can remember he was here a number of years ago, and he was down in Gippsland, and we went down to Gippsland and spent, I guess, probably traveled up and down for a whole week just to be in his meetings, because the anointing on him was just something phenomenal. He had a great word of knowledge and word of wisdom. In fact, I'll tell you a little story about him in a moment, but business people in London used to ring him up and say, Brother Greenwood, we're looking at this business deal, what does God say? And he'd say, well, give me an hour to pray about it. So he'd go away and pray and come back and say, God said, do that. That's the right thing to do. He knew exactly what to do. But he wanted to get a new car. And he said, you know, I know God provides. There's no problem with that. And he wanted a Rover car. So he went to the Rover dealership somewhere in Chard. He lived in Chard in England. Went to the Rover dealership and looked at them, all the cars. And he said, they're all nice, but I'd like this particular color of blue. And they said, we don't make that color of blue. You can have green or red or, you know, brown, or we don't do that color of blue. He said, but that's the one I want. And they said, well, we don't do it. He said, okay, well, I'll talk to my father about it. So he went away and prayed. And after about 6 weeks, the Rover dealership phoned him up and said, oh, Mr. Greenwood, you were asking about a blue car. Would you come down to the showroom and have a look? So he went down to the showroom, looks into the showroom, and there's this blue Rover car sitting there. It's the exact color that he asked for. He said, how come you said you don't make blue ones? He said, well, this is rather a strange story. He said, a sheik out in the oil fields wanted a blue Rover car, and he was prepared to pay big money to have it exactly painted the color he wanted it. We delivered it to him and he said, no, it's the wrong color. It happens to be the right color for Harry Greenwood. So a car that was specially built and painted, sent to wherever and brought back again, he got his car and said, thank you, Lord. But see, the point was this. He went to God and said, God, I really, really, really appreciate the fact that you got that car for me. He says, you don't mind me having that blue Rover car? And God said to him, no, I don't mind you having the blue Rover car, provided that you don't mind if I ask you to give it to somebody else, you're willing to do that. And he said, that's all right, I don't mind. If you want it for somebody else, that'll be fine. So he got his car, and then he said, Lord, if you want that blue one for someone else, that's okay, but do you mind if I have a car? He said, God says, I don't care if you've got 10 cars as long as I have control of all of them. See, God doesn't mind what you have, provided you're willing to give it away when he requires it. God doesn't give you wealth so you can just be wealthy and get on the Forbes list and all the rest of them. God gives you wealth because he can trust you with it. And he knows that if he says, I want you to do such and such in such and such a place, you'll do it. And there'll be no discussion or debate about it. It'll just be done because that's what it is. Today is the day and the time is now. Amen. You need to come to that place where you're going to move into the wealthy place. Now listen to these. You have to come to the wealthy place where you're able to go in and out and not be embarrassed. Never be embarrassed by money. I listened to someone saying, it was a few years ago, a young man, he said, I don't want to have too much money. I just want enough to, you know, get me through. I said, that's a terrible way to live. Just enough to get you through. You need to believe for millions and millions and millions so you can finance the gospel and do the things that God wants you to do. Yeah. Today, he's not doing anything. Because he's still got that mindset. I just want enough to get me through. Listen to John chapter 10 and verse number 9. In John 10 and verse number 9. Jesus speaking. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Now, it's interesting when you start to look at some of these verses. When you examine in the Greek language the word pasture, you find it means that you have a place where you'll not be short of supplies for your life. The pasture is a place of growth and increase. It means to have, to hold in hand, to own, and to possess. Jesus is the door. He said, anyone who comes in or out by me to this wealthy place, you will have more than enough. But then he goes on in the next verse, and the first line is, the thief only comes to rob and steal. The devil is trying to keep you out of your wealthy place, Jesus said, but I'm trying to get you to that place where you come into this abundance where it overflows and you've got more than enough. See, don't just grab a verse out and say, well, that's what it means. No, you've got to read it in the context that it's put and do some checking on it. Let me read a couple more of my favorite verses to you. This makes me happy. You know, I love these. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, it says, and so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Listen to this. Houses full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, he says, then beware lest you start possessing this for yourself. He said, I'm giving it to you, but it's to use. Go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor. and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, you eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Let me give you another one. New Testament, John chapter 4. You're starting to get the picture. God wants to bless you. Don't hold back. Let him bless you. But he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Jesus said, John chapter 4 and verse 38. Well, let's read verse 37. For this is the saying, is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. See, Jesus believes in that too. God wants to bring you into this wealthy place. And he's going to go before you to make the way available to you. But listen, you have to receive the wealthy place in your thinking first before you begin to experience it. It's got to be real inside of you. And then it begins to manifest around you. And it will affect you and the people in your life. We've been in some tough places. I don't mean tough in the sense of when I worked in clubs and pubs. That was tough. But I mean just financially, we've been in some tough places. I can remember a time, and I've probably told you this story maybe several times already over the years. We didn't have, can I use this phrase? We didn't have a brass razoo. I mean, we were flat broke. People about saying being at the bottom of the barrel was on top of us. Now, we're in ministry. We were so far behind, it wasn't even funny. It was that bad, we didn't even have enough money to buy food. We had no food in the cupboard. At that time, we had three children. And, you know, we were saying, okay, Lord, you've called us to this. We don't understand it, but we're trying to be obedient and do what you've called us to do. And I said to Ian and the other children, I said, let's set the table up. We got no food in the house, but God's going to provide. And we set the table and we sat down. And we said, Father, we thank you for what we are about to receive in Jesus' name. And there's a knock at the door. And Elizabeth says, a shadow at the window at the side of the door. And when we went out there, it happened on several occasions, there was a box of groceries sitting there. I mean, we hadn't seen so many groceries for months and months and months. What am I telling you? See, there's a place, you have to get it in your thinking first. Get it in your spirit. And when you do that, then it begins to manifest. Now, it applies to you every day. Today is the day, and the time is now. God doesn't want you to live from hand to mouth. He doesn't want you to live day to day. He wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to come to the place. Now, listen to me. God is not a halfway God. See, some people are standing, as I said, we're on the verge of. I can almost see it. But their thinking keeps them out. You have to come to that place where you get past that. Psalm 66:12, we read it before. He brought us out to a place of plenty, a wealthy place. The difficulty I see is this, folks, that many of us have accepted things that we shouldn't have accepted. We forget that we're in covenant relationship with God. We forget that we're in partnership with the Creator of the world. We forget these things. So we just settle down and say, well, you know, if I just have enough to get through. You know, I tell you now, you haven't. None of you in this place this morning, none of you have enough to get through what God wants you to do. None of you. None of us have got to that place. We're still struggling with maybe. No, you got to come to a place where you say, okay, can I say something to you and don't take this the wrong way? Some people believe it's a normal thing to be broke because of their background. I'm going to tell you something. That's abnormal in the light of God's covenant. When you put your situation against the covenant of God, you realize, well, we've come so short from what God wants us to be and what he wants us to have. I'm nearly finished. Let me take you to a couple more. Psalm 102. Now, I do hope you're writing all of these scriptures down and that you will rehearse them again. Go through them in your quiet times. In Psalm 102, verse 13. Now, remember, the message is called, Today is the Day And the time is now. The day, today is the day, and the time is now. Psalm 102, verse 13. It says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." Today is the day, and now is the time. It's time to arise, folks. Time to get up and start and get on with what God is calling us to. As a group of people, as a church, we've really settled into just make do. Well, this is all right. Let's believe for increase. Let's begin to see things happen. In Psalm 25, it says this, verse 12, 13, and 14. Psalm 25, 12. "Who is the Lord? Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inhabit the earth." The secret of the Lord, remember I said, only God knows the way to the wealthy place. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him or reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. It's already settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89 tells us that. It's already settled in heaven. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to discuss it. It's settled. As far as God's concerned, it's yours. We have to renew our thinking. Don't keep praying, "Lord, give us today our daily bread." See, you're locking yourself into just enough to do for the day. Now, in Matthew 13, and we're not going to go there for time's sake, but in Matthew 13, there's two parables, particularly. There's the parable of the treasure in a field and the parable of the pearl of greatest price. And both the merchant and the farmer sold everything they had to get the treasure and the pearl. You have to come to a place where you're going to make God's word your top priority. Everything else has to go aside. If you want the pearl of greatest price, if you want the wealthy place, you're going to have to put aside everything else and say, "God, okay, it's you and me for it." Now, there's only one way to do that. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 10 and Proverbs 21, it takes diligence. You have to be diligent about this. When you got saved, you were brought, according to Colossians, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And God wants to bring you to that wealthy place. He wants to bring you to that place where you are more than cared for. You're just living in what he wants you to live in. Let me give you this last scripture, which you already know. 3 John, down the back of your Bible. 3 John verse 2. Listen to it. It just gives you God's heart. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." You may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Just as you change your mind, just as you renew your mind, as you stop thinking need and start thinking provision. Stop thinking, "Well, I can't do it," but in God you can. Change your way of thinking, because you'll never experience the blessing until you change your thinking. Now, on Tuesday night, we were talking about your future, and we're going to continue that this coming Tuesday. I'll finish it off. We were relating that to the second coming of the Lord. And on Tuesday night, I said this. I said, on Sunday, I'm going to pray a prayer that God has put in my heart to complete this message today. And I want you to agree with me, because I'm going to pray this prayer. And it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your families. It's going to affect the people in your street. It's going to affect those around about you. If you receive it. So here's the prayer. I've typed the prayer out, because I want to say this prayer and pray it exactly as the Lord gave it to me. So let's pray. Father God. No, you don't need to pray. Just listen. Receive it. Take it in. Father God, today I agree with your word. You promised me a wealthy place. And today I believe you have encouraged me to come up to the place where come out of not enough, come past the place of just enough, and come up to the place where I have more than enough. I pray this morning for all of those who partner with this ministry. And I'm thinking especially about our partners here in Australia, in Philippines, in New Guinea, and in America. I pray for them now in Jesus' name that they are now beginning to move up to their wealthy place too. Lord, today I know that you want to transfer the world's wealth into the hands of those who are your covenant people. When this begins to happen, we will be able to use it to fulfill your plans and purposes here on the earth in these last days. So I pray now, Lord, that you give us and our partners across the world supernatural increase in our finances. We expect supernatural debt cancellation. We expect supernatural provision. We expect church buildings to be cleared of debts. We expect notes and mortgages to be paid out. We expect loans to be paid out. We expect excessive and exceptional financial transactions that are beyond human explanation. For those who need a home, Lord, I pray you give them a mortgage-free home that is suitable to their needs. For those who need transport, Lord, I pray that you give them a new vehicle even this week. For those who need a financial breakthrough, Lord, let it come suddenly and even unexpectedly. I believe that we are able to have wonderful testimonies resulting from your wonderful provision as we enlarge the place of our tent, as we stretch out our curtains, as we don't hold back, as we lengthen our cords, as we strengthen our stakes, then we will testify to your grace and your glory and your provision. We will say that everything that you have provided for us, and we will give you the praise and we'll give you the honor that is due your name. We agree with your word. We make provision to receive the fullness of the blessing into our lives today. This is the day and now is the time. You alone can do this. No one else can do it. And we open our hearts to receive supernaturally, super speedily, all that you have provided to supply super abundantly. And we give you the praise and all the honor as we move into our wealthy place in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
That means you believe it. So receive it today in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Ian. You want to come finish for us?
Praise the Lord. Did you receive that?
Yes.
I said, Amen, I receive that. You'll be going like this. Yes. I got it. It's mine. Praise God. I receive it. That's good stuff. You know what the word says? What does the word tell us about having good things? It says that it's the goodness of God that draws men to salvation.
Yes.
How do they see the goodness of God? They're looking at you and they're looking at me.
That's right.
And they're looking at what we drive and how we dress and where we live, and they're looking to see the goodness of God on our lives, and that's what draws them to be saved. They go, I want to be like that. Yeah. If that's a Christian, I want to be there. Praise God. We're moving into that wealthy place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So start seeing ourselves that way, and part of that is our giving. Amen? So now here comes our practical part. We're going to sow our seed. We're going to give our tithes and offerings in here. And let me encourage you. We've been encouraging you over the last little while to move into God's system. Amen? To move into kingdom living. And there's reasons for that. Because as we've been taught this morning, you can have a different source than the Lord, but you can't rely on that source. We need to be able to rely. We're going to rely on God, and we might have many different channels, but we can't rely on certain sources or the world's source. Let me give you some interesting statistics I heard this week as we're coming to sow our seed. Told or read actually that in early, I think it was January this past year, there are 24 million people roughly in Australia. We just want to talk some statistics. 24 million people in Australia. That this last January, the government paid out 14 million welfare payments. 24 million people, 14 million welfare payments went out. I don't know about you, but the basic maths on that does not work and that is not sustainable. You can't do that. How that comes back to working people, every 10 people who are working, 8 of the 10, 8, their full taxes go to welfare. That's not sustainable. You know what? We need to get into God's system. We need to get into heavenly system that we can rely on. Because I'm telling you, if that system goes on the same path and the same increase, you can't rely on that either.
That's it.
You know, when there's no money in the bank, there is no money in the bank. So praise God, but no matter where we are, we can rely on God. He's our source, and we're going to be able to tap into that, praise God, that we can be blessed and be a blessing to people, and we're well able to rely on the Lord. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
As we get into it, as we spend our time in it, let me encourage you here. As a centurion here said to the Lord, you know, my servant is sick. Come and just, you know, she's sick. And the Lord says, I'll come and heal her. And the centurion said, Lord, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. This is what we need to do in our finances. Speak the word only. Because later in that verse, the word says there, Jesus said, that he says, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. So that tells me that great faith is the faith that speaks the word only.
Yes.
Are we going to speak the word only in our finances?
Yes.
That's it. Speak the word only. Great faith is going to be applied. Are we going to receive it and have manifestation of it? Praise God. Get your tithes and offerings. Let's stand and let's have our confession. And praise God, we're going to receive it. Sow our seed. Now, let me encourage you. You've got to get to the stage where you really believe the word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, if you really believe the word of God and you have nothing to give, let me tell you, you will go home and you'll find seed. You'll find a suit, not one with holes. You'll find something in your house to give. If you believe that seed time and harvest is the principle, this is how God works. We sow a seed, we reap a harvest. If you believe that, you will find seed of some sort and you will give it to get seed in the ground so God's got something to work with. Amen? So I encourage you, we're going to give with a good... Oh, I've got to come right round this side so I can see it all. All right, one, two, three. Father God, today I come into your house. Bring in my tithe and offering according to Malachi 3:10. Thank you for rebuking the devourer on my behalf. Because I am a faithful and consistent giver, I'm not limited to the world's economy. I speak your words over my finances. You have blessed me to be a blessing. Amen.
Cassandra, could I ask you love to help me with that? Come take up the offering for me.
Praise God. It's good to be able to rely on God. I was talking to Abby on the way up here, and I said, there's a wee girl she's been ministering to in her class who doesn't have a father, and the mum's not on track, and she's been sharing the scriptures with her and encouraging her. And I said, you know what? That, you know, people in the world who don't have the Lord, they have no hope. We have a hope, praise God, in our blessed salvation, and we know we can rely on the Lord, you know, and that's why we need to share with people and encourage them. But it's the goodness of God in your life that they see. You can talk all you want to talk. You can tell them. They're looking at you and they're looking at what they can see. You can say God's good, but you're standing there in holes and so forth, holes in your shoes and rags. They're going, that's not the God I want to serve. So praise God. Let's come up as we've been taught today. Amen. We're going to be blessed. Thank you, Cassandra. Oh, they're sorry, Cassandra, just a couple there. Don't miss those people. Let them get the seed in. Praise God. Beautiful. Thanks. Bless you, Cassandra. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and hear the word. Father, thank you for revelation knowledge on coming up and coming up to that next level, Father, to stepping into our wealthy place. Father, today we receive it in Jesus' name. Father, we walk in it, Father, and we accept it in our hearts. We're going to confess it. We're going to get it deep in our spirit, Lord, until it comes out of our mouth in every sentence that we have that we are in that wealthy place.
Amen.
And Father, we've received it for the people here. We bless you for it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right.